with
my station.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Daniel Owens Reed and Kristen Russo have been talking in the last several years to LGBTQ young people, and they say that one of the most common questions they are asked by these kids is, can you help me talk to my parents? Evidently, there hasn't been much material out there to draw upon, so the pair resolved to remedy that situation. Teens had been asking them questions through their website, everyoneisgay.com. But now they've written a book and created another website for parents. This is a book for parents of gay kids, tells you precisely what it is on its cover. They wrote that. Meanwhile, they've created the ParentsProject.com, a first-of-its-kind digital resource for parents of LGBTQ youth. Both Daniel Owens Reed and Kristen Russo join us from a studio in Richmond, Virginia, in advance of their book signing tonight at 7 at Park Road Books. And we thank you for joining us all the way from the Old Dominion. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And in our studio is Diane Troy, the local president of PFLAG Charlotte. PFLAG, of course, is short for Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. Thank you for being here as well.
I'm happy to be here.
And as we go through this conversation, there may be people who want to join us or have questions of their own. Charlotte Talks at WFAE.org or searching for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter will get you to us. If I understand this correctly, this vast enterprise that the two of you, Danielle and Kristen, have started by helping gay people, young people come out and help their parents handle this, started with your website, everyoneisgay.com, and that started, as the title may indicate, somewhat tongue-in-cheek. Explain that. How did this all begin?
Well, it all began actually a little bit before that. This is Danielle, and I created a website called Lesbians Who Look Like Justin Bieber. Yes, I got the first giggle. So I created that website, and I was getting, just because of having a presence, I think, on the internet, I was getting a lot of questions from people, advice questions, but also questions about the community, and some of them were very negative, like, why are you stereotyping the community and making the community look bad? And Kristen,
because of the title of your website. At the time.
Yeah, I think that people kind of thought I was saying every lesbian looks like Justin Bieber. And
well,
so
that's
I,
not true.
Right? That's what I was saying. And so I had just met Kristen, and she kind of had the same feelings that I had, and she was on her way to getting a master's in gender studies. So we just kind of talked about it and decided to talk back.
Yeah, and what we found very, very quickly was that not only did making people laugh, you know, help just by creating laughter, but it also wound up opening up this very safe space where young LGBTQ people felt comfortable asking questions that they wouldn't ask elsewhere. And so, you know, within the first few months of having Everyone Is Gay, it went from being a silly place where we answered questions like, how do I know if my dog is gay, to a place where we were actually addressing questions like, what do I do if I come out to my parents and they're not okay with that?
Both of you are gay. How were your coming out experiences? How was it for you and for your parents?
Well, we have one of the cool things about our book is that we involve a lot of our own stories, which we did because most of the things that we say on the internet come from our life experience. So both of our coming out stories are right in there. And basically, you'll see through mine that my dad has been just from the get-go so supportive and amazing. And like, all he cared about was my happiness, and that was it. And my mom struggled with it quite a bit. She kind of wondered, you know, why I didn't want a family, or why I never wanted to get married, or why I was like, why I didn't want to just choose to be with a man. And those kind of things really messed with me. And that's still a struggle for sure. But I was lucky.
Danielle, are you talking?
Yes, okay. This is Danielle. Sorry,
okay.
I'll clarify.
We can't see each other, so that's it makes it it makes it difficult sometimes.
Picturing you. Do you have brown hair?
I did when I was younger. It's getting grayer. Your mom also asked you questions like there were a lot of questions that she asked you that you say made you feel less than or like you were making a decision not to have a fulfilled life. She didn't mean anything by the questions. It was the way the questions came out. Can you give me some examples of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my mom, I think, had a lot of trouble with communicating her thoughts, which came from like having this picture in her head of me growing up and marrying a man and having kids, and that was it. And so when I was gay, I think I sort of like threw that for a loop, and she wanted to know, you know, why didn't you want to get married? Why don't you want to have kids? And she would also say things like, but you're so pretty, which confused me as well. And she would still ask me to wear dresses and all of these things at the age of 19. I had no idea how to talk about or how to answer, or how to just be like, ooh, just support me. I don't know how to answer these questions right now. But, you know, through growing up and also talking to the young people that we've talked to, we've kind of found a place where we can tell parents ahead of time, like, why those things are troubling.
Kristen, what about your own experience?
My experience was, so I came out on Thanksgiving Day when I was 17.
Timing. Yeah,
anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Timing.
I just marked my 16th
holidays
anniversary.
Holidays are a big time for coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you're, you know, I was away at school, and so I was only home for a handful of days, and it just sort of happened. I didn't really plan it, but my dad was similar to Danielle's dad. When you talk to the two of us, dads get a really good rap.
Yeah.
My dad was, you know, a little bit concerned of about my safety and would I be, you know, judged or discriminated against, but otherwise was just like, if you're happy, I'm happy. My mom, however, was raised in a very, very strict Roman Catholic family and was very, very religious. And so she cried when I came out to her, and she had tons of questions for me. And her biggest concern was that her beliefs taught her that what I was wrong. But she also knew that she loved me. So it took us a decade, really, of talking and yelling and crying.
Were you raised Catholic as well?
I was, yeah. My sister and I were both raised Catholic.
So if your mom had a problem with it because of her religious beliefs, did you have a problem with it because of the way you were raised? Did you have to come to terms with who you were and what that meant to you as a person of faith?
You know, I've spoken to so many people who have been raised Catholic and who have that experience, who struggled and thought that what they were was wrong because of what they were taught. I didn't have that experience. I've kind of been like a fighter.
Me too. That's what I am.
Since I've been a kid, like I like to challenge things and like really pull things apart. And so by the time I was figuring out my sexuality, I really, like, I knew that I was a good person, and I didn't personally believe in like a God that would think that I was bad or wrong. So I didn't have a personal struggle with it for myself, and I actually maintain a really amazing relationship to my faith and my religion. But for my mom, it was very, very different. And for a lot of young people, it's not that way.
So we've been hearing from these two brat children who caused problems in their family.
Yeah, we're the worst.
Yeah. I need $20 from a lady.
Let's turn it around, because we have a parent here. Diane Troy is the president of PFLAG here in Charlotte. And you are Catholic.
Yeah, I am too. I am Catholic, and I was raised in a Catholic family. I'm one of six kids. But my dad was an atheist, and I always had a view, pretty much what Kristen just said, that God loves everyone, and if you're a good person, you're going to be fine. So when families come to me with this conflict with religion, you just have to kind of talk them through it and guide them to an affirming church. And usually here in Charlotte, we've got a wonderful faith community, and you usually can find a church in your religion that is affirming and welcoming to you.
Let's, since you're here and you're a parent, and your child came out to you about 4 years ago, who is very successful, by the way, a physicist becoming a medical doctor.
Wow. Yeah. Smart. And that's not a brat child.
No,
a good kid.
What was it like for you, for your child to come out to you? When did it happen? How did it happen? And what was your reaction?
Okay, well, big surprise, girls. It was Thanksgiving.
Oh, man.
And I just have to say that I had no idea he was gay. So it's going to sound really hysterical when I explain to you that when he came out to me, we were standing in my closet. He was ironing a pair of very tight jeans that I was concerned about, and we were getting ready to go shopping. So,
wait a minute.
The mall.
Wait a minute. You iron jeans?
Well, all these things are just it's amazing to me how blind I was.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
but honestly, I was heartbroken when he came out to me. And we've always had a really close relationship. Because it's scary. Well, first of all, you know, it's like the girl said, a parent has a vision for their child's life, whether it's accurate or not. And all of a sudden you're standing there in this cloud of confusion and there's fear. There's definite fear that your child is all of a sudden vulnerable and is going to be bullied and is not going to have the same opportunities as other kids. So it is. It's a very difficult time for a parent.
Now, he was 21, right? 22?
He was. I think he was 21, yeah.
Okay. So you were worried he was going to be bullied at that age?
You know, he was actually attending a school that has come a long, long way. But at the time, it was not very, you know, gay friendly. And my son has told me that he never had any problem with bullying or things like that. But these are things that parents have to deal with, especially if their child is younger. And kids are coming out younger and younger.
So it was a shock initially.
Yes.
How long did it take you to come to terms?
Well, my son gave me, I think, a week to just stay out of the dark side of the internet trying to find excuses for him not to be gay anymore. And he told me, you're not going down the path that you need to go down. You need to find a PFLAG. You need to get educated, and you need to start your journey because I'm already here. Mm-hmm. You can either deny this or you can just jump on the bandwagon. So that's what I did.
That's one of the things you write about in your book, that the coming out experience is not just a journey for the person coming out. It's a journey for their parents, for their family, in some cases for their friends, correct?
Absolutely. I think it's a process for everyone. And then it's, you know, after you come out to your parent then has to come out to everyone in their life as well. And I think we forget that a lot. We kind of think our parents are there to protect us and nothing else. And we don't really think about the fact that they have their own feelings and journeys, et cetera.
Yeah. And, you know, we encourage so much for parents to ask questions and say the things that they're feeling and really process those things. And, you know, Diane, I applaud you for being able to share your story. I know that my mom also is at a point where she can talk about what she went through then. And I've seen with parents now going through that how helpful it is to hear that honesty, to hear that you did struggle, you did wonder, you did have questions, and you were afraid. That those are normal things to feel for a lot of people. And I think that it's so helpful to know that it's okay.
When you look back on those feelings of fear, those initial feelings, which, you know, somebody's hitting you over the head with a surprise announcement, that's, all these things are rushing through your head.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look back on those feelings as being legitimate or being just simply out of ignorance or not having ever thought about it before because, you had no idea?
Well, I mean, this is all new territory, especially if you're in a situation like me that I didn't have any clues, at least I didn't see anything. But the important thing is to keep the communication open with your child. My son and I have a very close relationship, so he forced me to sit down and ask him questions. He would say, Mom, ask me anything you want to know. I don't care, you know, whatever you want to know. And I asked the most ridiculous questions, and I look back now.
Like what? What did you ask?
Oh, you don't want to know. It's almost embarrassing. The same old thing. You know, like, are you sure, honey? Have you really, do you know, maybe you should have sex with a girl. Have you had sex with a girl? You know.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll leave. That's a great place to leave.
Yeah.
That's Diane Troy, president of PFLAG Charlotte. Also with us, Daniel Owens Reed and Kristen Russo, founders of EveryoneIsGay.com and theparentsproject.com, and authors of This Is a Book for the Parents of Gay Kids. We're coming right back. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the Charlotte Symphony, presenting The Magic of Christmas, featuring American Idol Melinda Doolittle, the Oratorio Singers of Charlotte, and the Charlotte Children's Choir, Thursday through Sunday at Belk Theater. Tickets at 704-972-2000. And Alpine Ski Center offering performance winter clothing from North Face, Spyder, Roxy, Burton, and Patagonia. Ski and snowboard gear and rental repair service open daily till Christmas in Charlotte, Greenville, and Banner Elk. Well, we know that young people's connections to mainline religions is on the decline, but a UCLA study of students in college reveals that though attendance may be declining, spirituality is on the rise. And the study also discovered that students become increasingly more liberal in their stance toward religion. So we're going to take a closer look at the study and at whether or not something like that is happening on campuses around Charlotte tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, many hope Michael Brown's death in Ferguson, Missouri, can lead to new understanding. Prospects for positive changes in police procedures, race relations, and economic opportunity.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking to Daniel Owens Reed and Kristen Russo, who got together several years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, I guess. Is that about right? 4 or 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm. April will be 5 years.
Okay. And founded EveryoneIsGay.com. They've now come out with a book for the parents of gay kids, cleverly titled, This is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids. A question and answer.
We wanted to be very clear.
Yeah. A question and answer guide.
I think they got the point.
Yeah, to everyday life. They're signing that book tonight at 7 p.m. at Park Road Books. And Diane Troy is here. She's president of PFLAG. Charlotte, you wanted to add one thing before we move on, Diane, because we had to go to the break right after your comment. And you wanted to point out, and you tell parents this now.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that that parents understand that there are no stupid questions. And we all can look back after, you know, at the beginning of our journeys, and parents do go through journeys just like a child coming out. A parent has to go through that too. And if you really are open-hearted and you are really keep the line of communication open with your child, you're going to ask some really crazy questions.
Okay.
And it's okay.
This conversation so far has kind of tracked the book in terms of the lightness of the conversation. And one of you, I think, is it Danielle? Are you the comedian?
I think they're both pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like, you know, trained wise, I guess, yes.
Yeah, okay,
but Kristen is like one of the funniest people I know.
I like to call myself the straight man, even though I am like slightly funny, because then it's even funnier. You know? She's not even supposed to be funny.
Can you be a straight man and a gay woman at the same time?
That's no. I can. I prove that fact.
So the conversation has been light, but for a lot of people, this is a very heavy, dark period in their lives, because parents do have dreams for their children, and suddenly those dreams are shattered. Other parents have been raised in very strict religious families, and they just cannot accept what their religion is telling them is wrong. It puts them between a serious Mount Everest and a hard place, mm-hmm. is where it puts them. How do parents like that deal with this situation? How do young people who have parents who just can't, because of their own personal, strongly felt convictions, just can't come to terms with this?
Well, can I just say, sometimes when a parent has a lot of conflict with their child sexuality and their faith community, sometimes the only thing you can say to your parent, to the parents, is make sure your child knows that you love them. And keep the communication open, and go to work. Do your homework. Educate yourself. Because just by educating yourself and learning about the gay community and what your child is going through and your own faith community, it can change. It can really change your whole idea of what's going on.
Well, there are a lot of people who can't do that or won't do that or think this is all a mm-hmm. liberal plot to advance the homosexual agenda. And I don't say that to be funny. People actually believe that. So Danielle and Kristen, you must get these questions on your websites or in the many talks that you have given over the years. I mean, how do you respond?
You know, I mean, we mostly get the questions from the young people who are struggling with that, from, you know, their parents having that worldview or people around them having that worldview. And there are people where you can't have that conversation. You can't get them to a place where they're going to want to learn more. And if that's the position that you're in, the best thing you can do is surround yourself with a community that accepts you, mm-hmm. is to change, you know, if you're a religious person, to change your congregation. Like Diane was saying, find congregations that are welcoming and accepting. Find a group of friends. Find a community that accepts you and loves you for who you are, because it's not healthy to be in an environment with a person, whether it be a family member or a friend, who truly believes that who you are is bad or wrong fundamentally.
Before you wrote this book, you say that one of the questions that you noticed that kept coming up was, how do I help my parents understand that I'm gay? I thought it was going to be, how do I tell my parents? But the question is phrased, how do I help them understand that I'm gay? Mm-hmm. What's the difference in those two questions?
I think the difference is people kind of think it's coming out as just coming out, but they don't think about the moment right after. You don't think about the questions that you'll get from your parents and how you might not know how to explain things. And, you know, you're in a whole new community of people with all of these new terms, and you're kind of understanding your identity. And we're still going on a journey to understand who we are. So how do you even help someone else understand that, especially when there are so many people who think that it's a choice and it's a phase, and they're coming at you with those things? Then how do you help them really understand that this is who you are and all you want is their love and support?
Yeah, and it puts the focus more on it not being a one moment thing. It's mm-hmm. not that, and we all need to know that, whether we're parents or young people coming out. It's so important and helpful to know that it's not over when you utter those first words. It's just beginning. That's your first step.
One of the three of you said that there mentioned that there are people younger and younger coming to this decision that they are gay, and that also, it seems to me, is difficult for older people to understand. Because when older people grew up, they didn't probably know anybody who was gay. And if they did, they kept it to themselves. So do you find that you're talking more to the parents of or to younger people who are coming out at 11, 12, 13?
I do, yeah.
Or at the age of 25 or 30 in some cases?
Well, we have I would say the majority of families that that come to us at PFLAG and attend our meetings are young families. And They pretty much are already educated. They just want to be around other families that are going through the same journey that they are going through. We always can use more information, so we're constantly trying. We're like sponges when your child comes out. Mm-hmm. You just want to learn everything you possibly can, and you want to make the right decisions.
When did you know? Danielle and Kristen?
Oh. When
did you know Danielle and Kristen? At what age?
This is Kristen. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything until I was 16, 17 years old. I think that the signs to the outside world were probably much more obvious. But from my personal experience, you know, I just thought that I had really, really close best friends, and requesting love songs for them on the radio didn't occur to me as a sign that maybe my feelings were more than friendship. And I didn't become aware of it being something that was more than a friendship until I met the first girl that I had a relationship with when I was 17. So I think I was a bit of a late bloomer.
Danielle?
This is Danielle. I was also a little older. And it's really interesting, too, because I was just talking to my girlfriend last night about how once you kind of declare that you're gay, everyone starts looking for signs from before. And they're like, oh, your best friend, you must have had a crush on them. So it's been like a very weird thing to kind of go back and be like, no, I didn't have a crush on girls before I had crushes on girls. But I was 19. I was a sophomore in college. And a girl kissed me, and I was like, I guess we're dating, because I'm from the South and we are very, very, you know, proper. So if we kiss, we're dating, we're going steady. But I just kind of started dating this girl, and then I started dating the next girl, and then a few years passed, and I was like, I think maybe I'm gay. So it was a process.
Yeah, but you know, I agree with what you were saying about how for Danielle and I, I didn't know gay people when I was 13. You know, like I didn't have a reference point. I would have recognized my feelings as something different if I had had a reference point for it, but I didn't have that. So I think it took me longer because of that.
Yeah, I didn't even know gay was a thing.
Right.
So when parents of 12 and 13 and 14-year-old and 15-year-old children start hearing from their kids that they are gay, isn't it normal to think that it's a phase? Because kids that age go through all kinds of phases, thankfully, and grow out of them. So how do you know that it's not? How do they know it's not?
You don't. Yeah. I think that the simplest answer to that is that you don't know if it's a phase or if it's not a phase, and that question really shouldn't be the important question, because mm-hmm. the important thing is that right now your kid identifies a particular way and they're looking for your support and acceptance. And the more support and acceptance you give them, the more freedom you give them to explore that part of themselves and to really figure out who they are. When you fight your kid on something or say, like, you'll grow out of it, yeah. it causes this rift in their understanding of themselves, and it makes the process so much more difficult for them.
One of the things in your book that you advise kids to think about is how their announcement will impact their parents and what they, and we've already talked a little bit about this, what they, the parents will have to deal with as a result of their coming out. That's a lot to put on a young person who's struggling with who they are and the impact of what they are and who they are in their own lives, to say, well, now be careful with your parents because they're tender. I mean, that's hard. Isn't it?
I would like to add something after the girls about
okay.
that part.
All right.
My instinct to that was actually, like, it sounds hard on paper, but mm-hmm. I think that it's actually, it makes it easier. I think that when you know that you're, I think a lot of people don't know. A lot of young people don't even think about their fact that their parent is going through a process. Mm-hmm. And by giving them that information, they can process what their parents are coming at them with, mm-hmm. with a little bit more of a understanding. And I think it helps.
I think so too. I think, when you come out and your parent starts crying or says something like, there's no way that you're gay. There's just no way. That hurts, but it hurts a lot less if you know that they are dealing with stuff too, because you can kind of separate yourself and be like, okay, I'm going to give them a week, I'm going to give them a month, give them some time to like think about it. And generally, I mean, when we our show in Boulder, the first people that came up to us at the signing was a mother and a daughter, and the mother said, "You saved our relationship." And I started crying because I'm emotional.
Danielle turned around and faced the wall. Cry.
And she said, the mom said, on your website, you said that the parents have to go through a process. So my daughter came to me and said, I understand that you have to go through a process and I'll be ready to talk when you are. And that saved our relationship. And I just think that nobody has said that. No one has said that to any young person who has come out. And I feel like it's such an important thing to know.
Diane.
Yeah, I like to tell people when they come to me and they're having problems with their parents and how fast they're moving through their journey. And I just remind them that, you have gotten to the point in your life coming out to your parents through your own journey. And regardless of how unique or how long or how short it was for you, you have to respect your parents' journey. You have to give them an opportunity to work through all of this confusion and let the fog lift from their lives so that they can be a little bit more accepting or understand you in a better light.
In those initial moments and initial months and perhaps years after your son came out to you, did you think back and ask yourself, what did I do wrong? Or what could I have done differently? Or did you have feelings of guilt on your own that I did this somehow?
I really didn't feel that way. What I was concerned about was that here I was, this helicopter mom, an only child, always trying to make sure he had a soft landing. And all of a sudden I find out that he's gone through the darkest days of his life with this struggle of who he was, and I wasn't there.
Did he talk about that to you, about his own personal struggle?
We have talked about it, and he said it was – and that's what – just crushed me. I was like, you did this. You had to do this alone. Why didn't you tell me? I could have helped you. And he said, I had to do this myself. And he learned a lot about himself by going through this. Mm-hmm. But the journey that that your child takes is just as unique as a journey that you're going to go through. But you do have to respect each other's journey. You have to give each other time.
You're present. Go ahead.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I also want to say, don't ever underestimate the power of I'm sorry.
Yes.
Because so many parents don't react the way that they want to. And I think the mistake isn't that reaction. It's years later when you haven't said I'm sorry or revisited that. But you can always come back a week later, mm-hmm. a month later, 10 years later and say, I am so sorry. Mm-hmm. I love you unconditionally and I support you and I want to help you through this. Mm.
When parents first come to you at PFLAG because they need help or they have questions that they need answered, are they looking for ways to protect and help their children, or are they looking for help in navigating their own relationships with friends and relatives because of what's happened in their lives?
I think initially they just want to understand what has happened in their families and what's going on in their lives. And they need to be educated. They need help. They need to have someone that's going to mentor them through this journey. And when they come to a PFLAG meeting and you're surrounded with families and parents that have gone through it, I can't tell you how empowering that is for you and the confidence that it gives you to walk out of that room and say, okay, I learned something tonight. I can do this. You know, I think I have a little bit more information mm-hmm. that I can use to help my son. But, you know, there are so many different people come with concerns for their faith community, for the health of their child. There could be one spouse that is more accepting than the other. There's, you know, everyone's process is unique.
Yeah. One of the things you talk about in your book is who to tell. Just because you've been told, that does not immediately mean that you have to dash out into the street and say, my son or daughter is gay. How about that? What do you say to people?
Well, we actually have a little chart for that section, which we're both very proud of, which you can follow. Are you ready to be out? Is your kid ready to be out? And you kind of navigate down the thing. But the bottom line is just talking to your kid, you know, because really, like Diane was saying, everybody's process is different. And so there are going to be families where your kid is totally ready to be out to the family, but does not want to have the conversation and is like, Mom, Dad, do it. Tell everybody I don't feel like it. There's going to be situations where the kid wants to be the one to come out. There'll be situations where maybe the parent isn't ready yet, and mm-hmm. we tell the young person then, like, obviously keeping anyone closeted is never good, but I think that there's a way to kind of negotiate and have a conversation where you decide on a time span. If that's the position you're in as a parent, you can say to your kid, can I have a month? I just would like 1 month where I can, like, learn more and prepare myself for this conversation. And we encourage the young person to give the parent that room so that they can feel comfortable too when everybody else knows.
Well, for me, it was kind of the opposite. I'm from a big family. I knew that my family was going to be fine. I wanted to share what I had learned about Michael. I needed to have a support system of my own. And you know, like many kids that are coming out, they don't want anyone to know. They still, you know, some kids never come out entirely. Some people never come out and tell you. Some people want to tell the whole entire world on the first day. But you have to respect their privacy and their coming out journey. And I actually, one of the biggest mistakes I made was betraying his confidence. And he kept telling me, don't say to one particular family member, don't do it, don't do it. And I was like, I'm going to do it. He kept saying, don't do it. I was like, I'm doing it. and to this day, that's probably the most... That was probably the worst thing that I did, and I've learned that, and we've talked about it, and he forgives me, and he understands how hard it was for me. But you know, when I facilitate my meetings, the first thing I say is, okay, don't do what I did. You know, you don't betray your child's confidence.
So it's about respect in both directions. Kristen,
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. All around, that's kind of the vibe.
Okay, when did you decide? I have 30 seconds. When did you decide that everyoneisgay.com wasn't enough? that you needed to expand this to an empire directed at parents as well.
May 16th, 2013. No, I don't. We talked to so
that's
many.
Amazing. That was.
It was young people. We listened to our young people. They told us what they needed, and we answered.
We have to take a break. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the Asbury Restaurant, offering their new seasonal menu featuring ember-roasted pumpkin and the flavors of fall. Located in Uptown Charlotte at the historic Dunhill Hotel, theasbury.com. And ABZ Creative Partners, marketing and communication strategists committed to helping businesses succeed. Creative, scalable solutions and strategic advice available at abzcreative.com. Many hope that Michael Brown's death in Ferguson, Missouri, can lead to new understanding. So on the Diane Rehm Show today, in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock, they'll take a look at prospects for positive changes in police procedures, race relations, and economic opportunity. That's coming up in just a little while. And if you'd like to join our conversation, you can get to us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter. And we're coming right back.
you know, you get attached, but it is still just a thing. And we started thinking, well, we could trade it in, but we probably wouldn't get a whole lot of money for it. And we thought, who deserves this vehicle? And we said, hey, public radio deserves this vehicle. My name is Bruce Yelton, and I donated my GMC Safari to public radio.
Call 1-866-789-8627.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking to Danielle Owens-Reed and Kristen Russo, founders of EveryoneIsGay.com and TheParentsProject.com, and authors of This Is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids. They are signing that book tonight at 7 p.m. at Park Road Books. And Diane Troy is with us as well, president of PFLAG. Charlotte, in our studio. I was joking about your expanding your empire here, but seriously, when did you decide that this website that was devoted essentially to people who identify, I guess, as gay, needed to be expanded to parents who were trying to come to terms with the fact that their son or daughter had come out to them? And then when did you decide to write this book?
Honestly, Kristen did a pretty good 5-second wrap up.
Thank you.
It was honestly
because our readers, and we started touring schools as well and talking to people in real life. And so those people, as well as our readers, all kind of unanimously had been asking us for so long to talk to their parents, to explain things to their parents, to come out for them, which is my favorite. And I'm still waiting for the moment we get to come out for someone. But we just kind of said, like, all right, there's got to be a way we can do this. And we had already had a literary agent who was like, anytime you want to write a book, like, we should do something. And we talked to her about it. And we all kind of like got together and made a proposal for this book. And then we got a publisher, Chronicle, out of San Francisco, who's just like so amazing. And we all talked and they were like, this is how it could be. And we were like, this is how it could be. And, you know, we just sort of, it was definitely a group project for sure, but it started with the book, which started from people asking us to write a book. Well, I
was just going to say that finding out that there wasn't a book was also a huge motivating factor. I mean, you know, Danielle and I know a good amount of stuff about what's going on in the LGBTQ community, but we find ourselves constantly surprised by the lack of resources. And that was a huge moment for us because we just assumed that something was there. We didn't know what it would be, but almost everything we found was written in the 70s or the 80s or was a super clinical approach to a kid coming out. And so that was a big mark on the journey for us of, okay, we need to do this.
Which is why I guess people come to PFLAG, because there's nothing that, right? that they – until mm-hmm. the, till, until now,
well,
there has been nothing
yeah,
to read.
I mean, I do – I read your book and I love your book. I love the question-answer format. I think it's really helpful for parents, especially when they're kind of walking around in this daze to be able to have it, you know, so simply laid out. But actually PFLAG PFLAG.org is an our national organization. They have a treasure trove of information on their website that I always send families to. And they have lines, they have pages of resources that they can go to. But like the girl said, there are a lot of outdated books out there. And every time I can get my hands on a new, freshly written book, it's just such a delight. But also it's really important for the families to get their information and to get support right here in your community. And we're really, really lucky and fortunate here in Charlotte to have great organizations like PFLAG and Time Out Youth to help them through their journey.
Let me share some questions that have come in, or comments as well, that have come in while we've been talking. Will says, don't kids actually need to be old enough to have a relationship before they can be gay? Can a 6-year-old be gay? Can a kid be gay before they are sexually mature? And I really don't mean sexually active, but I mean biologically developed, chemically, and physically. What's your answer to that, Danielle, Kristen?
You know, I think that sexuality is a very complex thing. And I think that, no, of course, a 6-year-old may not understand their sexual attraction to other people. They might, but that's not really what it's about. I think we as a society actually make infants sexualized in a manner when we're like, oh, look at him, he's flirting with you. You know, like those are comments that we pass along so easily between each other, which I don't know what that all means. But what I do know is that a young person has a hold on who they are and what they know about themselves at a variety of different ages. And know what a 6-year-old means if they say I'm gay and what a 17-year-old means when they say I'm gay are going to be different things. But I think it's really dangerous when we take away ownership from a kid at any age to say who they are, how they feel, whether it be a declaratory statement or just a matter of expressing an exploration or a wondering about what that word means.
Because I would imagine there are young people, because let's face it, it has become the subject of television shows. There are gay characters mm-hmm. all over television now. So there are now role models, and there are people out there who are acting in the world, at least the world of television and movies, that kids look at maybe and say, maybe that's me. And maybe they decide 5 years later that that's not them. I mean, do people change? Because we've talked about parents having hope and asking questions, well, how do you know you really are? Maybe you should have sex with a woman or vice versa. What's my question here? How do you know that they're not going to change? Particularly if they tell you at 13 that they're gay.
Well, I could just say that it doesn't really matter if you're treating your child as an individual and you're just letting them be themselves. Why are we placing labels on these kids, you know?
Right. And as any person, I think we all know the experience of knowing who we are attracted to before we've been in a relationship. I think every person on the planet has had a crush before they date someone. Mm-hmm. You know, not to bring it back to that fact, but I think it's absolutely possible for a young person to know their identity before they dated somebody or had sex with somebody or kissed somebody.
I agree. And I also want to add, I'm going to go back to what Kristen said a long time ago, which is I don't know if this is how it was phrased, but like, it doesn't really matter. It's like, they know who they are right now. Mm-hmm. And that's what's most important. Mm-hmm. And all you're doing by saying like, no, you're not, or wait, or we'll figure it out later is hindering their journey. And also I want to add that 5- and 6-year-olds know way more than we mm-hmm. know. They do. They're just so open-minded and they see the world for what it really is. And we are the ones who kind of project onto them what we are and aren't supposed to be.
Yeah. And think about the message you send to a 5- or 6-year-old. If they do say, hey mom, I think I'm gay. And you say, no, you're not. Like you immediately in that moment communicate that what they've just said is bad or wrong. So then they walk away from that thinking, oh, well, being gay is bad. Mm. Whereas if you say, oh, that's interesting, what do you mean by that word? You get to have a conversation about it, you know, and they get to learn and you get to learn, and it's just much more positive.
Yeah.
Dennis emails, my wife and I each have a gay son, not our son, but one each from a previous marriage. That was quite a revelation when we started dating. But on the humorous side, I was talking to my aunt when she asked how my son was and if he had a girlfriend. I told her, well, Auntie, he's gay. Her first response, oh, no, he's not. Then a pause as she realized how that might be taken. The next question from her has always made us laugh. She said, oh, then does he have a boyfriend? She really was fine with it. Her kids, my cousins, told me they knew all along.
Yeah, I love that when my family tells me, Diane, we've always known. I was like, what? Where was I? Yeah, sometimes.
I'm really excited about the gay Brady Bunch, because that's what you just said.
Oh, my gosh. That
the Gaty Brunch?
The Gaty Brunch.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It sounds like a sitcom, if you ask me.
Oops. Also, we just said Gaty Brunch.
Oh, my gosh.
We both said brunch.
I would
guess.
Yeah, I would definitely write that
we're
down.
Hungry.
Does your advice to parents, you think, and to other gay people, does your advice ring truer because you have been through this experience?
I think so, absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
We pull so much on our own experiences and all the work that we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, ring truer is a very interesting way of phrasing it, but I think that it's more than it just being like super, super relatable and people super understanding it because we've been through it. We're doing everything through humor. So no one's afraid to laugh at us or to relate to us because they're like, I'm silly too.
Yeah, and actually, Danielle, you saying that brings up an important point, which I just want to touch on really quickly, which is that, you know, the book is definitely a tool for parents who are struggling, but we also wrote it so that it would be a tool for parents who don't feel like they're struggling, but who just have some questions, you know, like, okay, so my daughter came out, what do I do about sleepovers? You know, things
right.
that are, or handling, you know, the more practical questions like dealing with bullying and discrimination. So I think the book is helpful, again, for people who are struggling, but I also think that there are a lot of parents out there who think like, well, I'm cool with it, so I don't need any help. But there's a lot of information I think that could be very helpful for those parents too.
Sometimes,
yeah. even only the glossary, you know.
What's in the glossary? I did not read the glossary, so let me look at the glossary. Ah.
Yeah, there are just a bunch of terms. You know, once you have a kid who's in the LGBTQ community, you might be hearing things, whether it be the word heteronormative or whether it be the word genderqueer or whatever it may be. You're going to be hearing new terms, and it's nice to have a little like. Okay.
Oh, that was a good page flip.
Thank you.
That was very good. Yes, well done.
You
could be a Foley artist. sometimes parents, who even those who are accepting of what's going on, want to know if this is a choice. What do you say to them?
That's one of our favorite questions
it
to
is.
Talk about. I'll start, and then if I forget anything, you can knock me off my chair and continue.
I have the checklist right here.
Okay, good. We had a really interesting and amazing time answering this question, because our approach to is it a choice is to really look at the word choice. That word is very complicated, because I think that a lot of people think about choice like, do you want fries or a salad? And it's not like that, right? It's not your kid isn't saying like, well, I think I'm just going to decide to be gay. But it's also really troubling when we say, well, it wasn't your choice, so that's why I accept you, because it inherently implies that, like, if you could choose, you would choose a different way of being. Mm-hmm. And so we really challenge people who have that question to think about why they're asking it and why they really need to know the answer to that, and to understand that for all of us, it's very different. I don't feel like I was born gay. I don't have that experience. There are a lot of people who do. I also don't feel like I woke up one day and chose the identity. I just feel like there were a combination of social factors and maybe biological factors. I don't know. But I just feel like I am who I am. And if somebody came up to me today and said, would you choose? I'm giving you a choice. Mm-hmm. I would choose exactly who I am.
That always seems to be one of the initial questions that parents ask. But when they start their journey and they become more educated and they are exposed to different families and other persons in the community, that just kind of fades away.
You've devoted an entire chapter in this book to religion. Is that the biggest stumbling block that most people face?
I think it is a large stumbling block for our generation specifically. I think that we are in a place right now where people are wondering more when, you know, I think there was a long time ago where people had a religion and that was it and no, there were no questions. But I think now people are like, wait, I have these like very devout beliefs, but I love my kid more than anything. I have to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we have an entire chapter dedicated to it, because I think people are finally ready to talk about it.
Yeah. And it also hits from so many angles. You know, you have parents who are religious and who have issues because of their own religious beliefs. But then you also have a lot of parents who are accepting but have to deal with religious family members who are not accepting. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's also part of that chapter is, well, you know, my mother or my sister or my cousin is super religious. How do I talk to them? And how do I have these conversations? Because a lot of times those conversations become like fire against fire, and that never goes anywhere. And so, you know, we use that chapter also as a means to provide resources and ways into those conversations that are productive.
What about parents who are accepting, but because of their religious beliefs, they simply cannot come to terms with marriage between a man and a man or a woman and a woman?
Oh my gosh, Kristen has real life experience with this.
I do. I got married last August.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I have members of my extended family who did not come to my wedding. And I really believe that it's possible to love and respect another person and maintain a relationship with them with differing beliefs. For my extended family, the members who didn't come to my wedding, it wasn't done out of hate, and it wasn't done in a way where it fractured our relationship. I know that it was a struggle for them to come to the decision, and I think that it's possible for those people, those parents, those family members to still love and appreciate their kids or their relatives. I also think a thing that we point out in the book is that there's a very big difference between spiritual marriage and legal marriage. And I think that's really critical because there are a lot of people who don't want you to be married in the eyes of God, but who vote on things that take away very important rights from people. So that's also part of that answer.
One of the things, Kristen, that you mentioned in another interview is that sometimes supportive parents feel guilty asking questions, and particularly in asking for help, because they feel that makes them less supportive. Do you find that to be the case?
Well, I do in our meetings. Yeah, I feel like sometimes parents even avoid the meetings because I feel like it's going to open up a lot of different, you know, emotions and feelings for them that they don't want to deal with. And once you get them in there and they're in an environment where they can ask questions, and you let them know that it's okay, there are no stupid questions, go ahead, put it out there. And then these questions are answered and addressed by other parents that have gone through the same thing that they've gone through. It makes it a lot easier.
From the point of view of the kid, you have no idea how good it feels for your parent to, when you hear that your parent has gone to a PFLAG meeting, when you hear that your parent was at a book signing for This Is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids, it's like to your kid that it means the world. So if you have the questions, it can only be more support for your kid.
Let me give a couple of examples of some of the questions that you answer in this book. What if your child tells you he or she is gay, but he doesn't want you to tell the other parent? My child is bisexual. Does this mean they can later choose to be straight? Does being gay mean my child is going to be promiscuous? I want my child to be happy, but I feel that marriage should be reserved for a man and a woman. How is gender identity different from sexual orientation? My political party doesn't support gay marriage. How can I reconcile that? Just some of the questions in this book. This is a book for parents of gay kids by two of our guests, Daniel Owens Reed and Kristen Russo, who are also the founders of two websites that are helpful, everyoneisgay.com and theparentsproject.com. They joined us from a studio in Richmond, Virginia, and Diane Troy is president of PFLAG Charlotte. Thank you all for the hour. I appreciate it.